I don't know where to start. So I guess I'll just start. About 96 or 97, John Barnett and his wife Etta moved to the Ozarks. Their address was Humansville, Missouri. And they had a daughter, more than one daughter, sons and daughters. But the oldest one was about 17. I don't know if that's about Shayla's age. And I think she was about Shayla's height. I don't know for sure. And she was a devout Christian. She loved her church. Church happened to be RLDS Church. They lived about a quarter of a mile east where my house is now. There used to be a well there that they used. I filled it up some time ago. I don't know exactly where the house was, but somewhere close to the well, I have to assume. I think this was about 97. Not 1997, but 1897. And this girl, young lady, should I say, enticed an older man to marry her. And they had a baby. She was born in 99. Most of you knew her. She lived with us when we first moved back to the farm for about 2 years. Passed away. This young lady I'm talking about is my mother. Not many here know anything about her. Probably not Curtis. Maybe just a little bit by Marjorie. Zerna don't remember, of course. She died in 1948. Zerna was born in 1949. So she don't remember, nor do any of the rest of them except Betty. And we had a little boy named Mike, or Michael. Betty wanted to name Michael after the Archangel Michael. He thought that was a wonderful name. And I think it is too. A week or two ago, when I was visiting with Curtis, when Marguerite was amongst her worst, Curtis and Peachy were visiting, discussing about the scriptures and about having to believe that which we could see. Curtis said that he believed the Ten Commandments, and of course he never did see the tablet that they was written on. And he also said he believed the Book of Mormon, though he didn't see the plates that came on, that an angel took the plates back and hid them. I don't know whether he had a slip of tongue or slip of memory, or maybe that he really thought was the true story. However, the story I understood, a personage appeared to Joseph Smith and taught him, and come back a year later and a year later, two or three times. And he told him his name was Nephi. But somehow, in our great knowledge, we butcher the scriptures and the history. We find in the Book of Mormon what we would consider to be poor verbiage, and they have changed it to modern verbiage. Doesn't change the meaning any, but it does. It had been changed. I bring this up because I think I recall Curtis telling all of us, I think, maybe not just me, but to everybody, that one of Marguerite's stumbling blocks was that an angel had appeared to Joseph Smith. But it really wasn't an angel. It was a personage, but not an angel. And the reasoning was that Nephi came over here with Lehi 600 years before Christ. And here, 2,000 years after Christ, he's claimed to be here to show Joseph Smith the books and give him the records to be translated. I guess I'd like to read from the last chapter in St. John. And I'll try to read it slow and as accurately as I can. I guess I'll start with the 19th verse of the 21st chapter of St. John. Thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, what is he that betrayeth thee? Which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple, Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple, which should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, of which they should, which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that that even the world would not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's a horrible way, in my estimate, of saying that John would tarry until Christ returns. But I think that's what it meant. And I think that's what John meant to say. But John, in his writings, sort of wrote in the third person and made it a little bit hard to understand. I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon now for a little while. Kind of skipping around on you. And this is in the fifth chapter of the Book of Helaman on page 592. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, such as one as you never beheld. And this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven. This is Samuel the Lamanite prophesying to the Nephites.
What verse?
Verse 60, I just read on page 592. And it shall come to pass that ye shall all be amazed and wonder, insomuch that ye shall fall to the earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall believe on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And behold, thus saith the Lord, commandeth me by his angel, that I should come and call this thing unto you. Yea, he hath commanded that I should prophesy these things unto you. Yea, he hath said unto me, cry unto this people, repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And now, because I am a Lamanite, and have spoken unto you the words which the Lord hath commanded me, and because it was hard against you, ye are angry with me, and do seek to destroy me, and have cast me out from among you. And ye shall hear my words, for this intent I have come up upon the walls of this city, that ye might hear and know of the judgment of God, which do await you because of your iniquities, and also that ye might know the condition of repentance, and also that ye might know of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and of earth, the creator of all things, from the beginning, and that ye might know of the sign of his coming, to the intent that ye might believe on his name. And if you believe on his name, you will repent of all your sin, then thereby ye may have a remission of them through his merits. And behold, again, another sign I give you, yea, a sign of his death. For behold, he surely must die, that salvation may come. Now that's a very significant verse in my estimation. Another sign I give you. I will give you a sign of his death. For behold, he surely must die, that salvation may come. If Christ had not been crucified, our salvation would be gone. In my understanding, Christ taught the people wonderful things, but what he really did for us in his crucifixion and resurrection brought about the resurrection of people. Yea, it beholdeth him, and it becometh expedient that he dieth, to bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, that thereby men may be brought unto the presence of the Lord. Yea, behold, his death bringeth to pass the resurrection, and redeemeth all mankind from the first death, that spiritual death of all mankind, by fall of Adam. Being cut off from the presence of the Lord, are considered as dead, both to the things temporal and to the things spiritual. But behold, the resurrection of Christ redeemeth mankind, yea, even all mankind, and bringeth them back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, and it bringeth to pass the conditions of repentance, that whosoever repenteth, the same is not hewn down and cast into the fire. But whosoever repenteth not is hewn down and cast into the fire, and there cometh upon them again a spiritual death, yea, a second death, for they are cut off again as to the things pertaining to righteousness. Therefore, repent ye, lest ye, by knowing these things and not doing them, ye shall suffer yourselves to come under condemnation, and ye are brought down into this second death. But behold, I said unto you concerning another sign, a sign of his death. Behold, in that day that he shall suffer death, the sun shall be darkened and refuse to give his light unto you. And also the moon and the stars. And there shall be no light upon the face of the land, even from the time that he shall suffer death for the space of 3 days to the time that he shall rise again from the dead. Yea, at that time that he shall yield up to the ghost, there shall be thunderings and lightnings for the space of many hours, and the earth shall shake and tremble, and the rocks which are upon the face of the earth, which are both above the earth and beneath, which you know at this time is solid, or on the more part is one solid mass, shall be broken up. Yea, they shall be rent in twain, and shall ever after be found in seams, and in cracks, and in broken fragments upon the face of the whole earth, yea, both above the earth and beneath. I don't believe I'll read any more there. There's lots more that maybe should be read, but I'll give give out before I get through if I don't. We'll turn to the third book of Nephi on page 624, chapter 4. And I guess I'll start with the second verse. Then I'll turn back one page and get the first verse. And now it came to pass that according to our record, and we know that our record be true, for behold, it was a just man who kept the record, for he truly did many miracles in the name of Jesus. And there was not any man which could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from his iniquity. And now it came to pass, if there is no mistake made by this man in the reckoning of time, the 33rd year had passed away, and the people began to look with great earnestness for the sign which had been given by the prophet Samuel the Lamanite, yea, for the time that he should be darkness for the space of 3 days over the face of the land. And there began to be a great doubting and disputations among the people, notwithstanding that so many signs had been given. Excuse me, please. And it came to pass in the 34th year, in the first month, in the fourth day of the month, there arose a great storm, such as one that never had been known in all the land. This is the story of the crucifixion catastrophe here on this land. And it happened on the first month. And what did it say on the fourth day? But the Catholic Church would have us to celebrate Easter in April rather than January. And there was also a great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, insomuch that it did shake the whole earth as if it was about to divide asunder. And there was exceeding sharp lightning, such as never been known in all the land. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire, and the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And the earth was carried up upon the city of Moronaha, that in the place of the city thereof there became a great mountain, and there was a great and terrible destruction in the land southward. But behold, there was a more great and terrible destruction in the land northward, for behold, the whole face of the land was changed because of the tempest and the whirlwinds and the thunderings and the lightnings and the exceeding great quaking of the whole earth. And the highways were broken up and the level roads were spoiled, and many smooth places became rough, and many great and noble cities were sunk, and many were burned, and many were shook, and many shook till the buildings thereof had fallen to the earth, and the inhabitants thereof were slain, and the places were left desolate. And there were some cities that remained, but the damage there was exceeding great, and were many of them that were slain. I could spend the rest of my time reading that story, but I want to go on back to the third book of Nephi. And it'd be on page 676, chapter 13. And we'll start at verse 12. And it came to pass, when Jesus had said these words, he spake unto his disciples, one by one, saying unto them, What is it that ye desire of me, after that I am gone to the Father? And they all spake, save it were three, saying, we desire that after we have lived unto the age of man, that our ministry, wherein thou hast called us may have an end, that we may speedily come unto thee in thy kingdom. And he said unto them, Blessed are ye, because ye desire this thing of me. Therefore, after that ye are 70 and 2 years old, ye shall come unto me in my kingdom, and with me ye shall find rest. At least at that time, 72 years was considered to be the life of man. And maybe about the average now, I don't know. But Marge is somewhere in that area now. I'm past it considerable. Betty a little more than me, and Curtis a little more than Betty. Back up. And he said unto them, Blessed are ye, because ye desire the thing of me. Therefore, after you are 70 and 2 years old, ye shall come unto me in my kingdom, and with me ye shall find rest. And when he had spoken unto them, he turned himself unto the three, and said unto them, What will ye that I should do unto you when I am gone to the Father? And they sorrowed in their hearts, for they durst not speak unto him the thing which they desired. And he said unto them, Behold, I know your thoughts, and you have desired the thing which John, my beloved, which was with me in my ministry, before that I was lifted up by the Jews, desired of me. Therefore, more blessed are ye, for you shall never taste of death, but ye shall live to behold all the doings of the Father unto the children of men, even till all things shall be fulfilled according to the will of the Father, when I shall come in my glory and with the powers of heaven. And you shall never endure the pains of death, but when I shall come in my glory, you shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality, and then shall ye be blessed in the kingdom of the Father. They, if you read the right place in the Book of Mormon, you find the names of all of the 12 disciples. I would not be say 12 apostles, but they were called disciples in this continent. And one of those disciples' name was Nephi. And in my belief, I am convinced that my belief is right, that he was the one of those three, and I believe that one of those three's name was Nephi, and he was the one that appeared into the personage that appeared to Joseph Smith, not an angel, but one of the three disciples, and told him his name was Nephi. But somehow in our endeavor to be exact correct and make everything work out just right, people didn't quite understand. They may have not understood at that time that they had read the Book of Mormon closely enough to know that those disciples' name was Nephi. It doesn't say that Nephi was one of the three that was to remain, but I believe that it was. And I I believe that's the one that came to a hill. In New York, near Elmira, which is in the southwest part of the state of New York, to the hill Cumorah, where the records were hid up. And the Book of Mormon says that the Nephites, who were fighting the Lamanites, who had become a more sinful people than the Lamanites, were all being slaughtered. Even Moroni's father, which I believe his name was Mormon, he was killed. And Moroni, in his last writings, I hadn't planned on reading that, but I guess I will. In the back of the book, and I'll find it after a while. We're on page 777. Well, let's go back to 776. Start with the 22nd verse. And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh, that ye shall know that I lie not. For ye shall see me at the day at the bar of God, and the Lord God will say unto you, Did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like one crying from the dead? Yea, even as one speaking out of the dust, I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from generation to generation. And God shall show unto you that which I have written is true. And again, I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ, and lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion. Yea, and put on the beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal God which hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfect in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye will deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might and mind and strength, then is this grace sufficient for you, that by this grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by this grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again I say, if you will, by the grace of God, are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then you are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is a covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that you may become holy without spot. And now I bid unto you, and now I bid unto all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God, until my spirit and the body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and the dead. Amen. Small distance as to whether the name of the personage that appeared to Joseph Smith was Nephi or Moroni. The sad part of the Moroni belief is that he was an angel. Angel Moroni. Because humans do not become angels. We are human, we are mortal, and through death we take on immortality. And the promise is to all. We're not some better than others. We either make the grade or we don't. And I have no reason to think this morning that there are anyone here that will not make the grade. I'm convinced that will. But we will all be equal. There won't be some that are above the others. Some will be below the others. We won't be married when we go to the second life or after our resurrection, I guess I should say. Scriptures tells us that there'll be no marrying or giving in marriage. No marriage or giving in marriage would be the way that's phrased. I apologize for playing out, standing up. And most of the time I freeze to death and everybody else is comfortable. But for some reason this morning I must have had a hot flush or I had to get my coat off. I heard somebody giggle. About hot flashes. And I hope that I haven't offended Curtis insisting that it was not an angel that took the records, but a personage.